Father God, we come once again before your presence in Jesus' name just to say thank you. Lord, we thank you for each and every one under the sound of our voice, Elder Staten and our drummer, Brother Curtis, and all of those working with the social media, Jonas and Maurice and Pam, and she had to work today, but we thank God for the excellence and of our social media ministry. We thank you, God, for the activities that are continuing to grow here at Abyssinian Baptist Church. Rather than regress, we're progressing. We're moving forward in the name of Jesus. Lord, we don't take it for granted. I thank you, God, for each home, each family that's represented here on today. Lord, we ask that you would move by your spirit as your people hear your word on this another Lord's day. We say yes to your will, your word, and your way, for it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. With thanksgiving always, let all of God's people say amen, amen, and amen. Psalms 27, 13 and 14. Psalm chapter 27, verses 13 and 14. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And then I want us to read Micah chapter 7, verse 7. That's the contemporary English version. Psalms 27, verses 13 and 14. New Living Translation. When you get there, say amen. Somebody said not yet. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Verse 14 says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Micah chapter 7, verse 7 says, but I trust the Lord God to save me, and I will wait, there's that word again, wait for him to answer my prayer. I want to talk around the thought, this is part two of God's waiting room. God's waiting room, part two. Y'all remember about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had part one, and I told you I would put it on hold because of the Resurrection Sunday and Palm Sunday. And here we are with part two this morning. And understand in verse 13 of Psalm 27, David says in Pointer's translation, no matter what comes my way, I remain confident with every breath that I take, knowing that God is good and that his goodness pursues after me each and every day. Talking about God's waiting room. And then Micah 7, verse 7 again says, I trust the Lord. Don't miss that. You might say, well, everybody trust the Lord. No. Well, everybody saved trust the Lord. No. I trust the Lord to save me. Salvation comes, yes, saved from the penalty of sin. But then we need to be saved from the troubles and heartaches and pains that suppress us, depress us, sometimes on a daily basis. Lord, save me from allowing my troubles to overwhelm me. Understand, the Bible talks about so many relevant issues in your life and mine. But one thing that I see mentioned over and over and over again is waiting. How many of us love to wait? I don't see no hands. I hope not. No one, for the most part, likes to wait. Am I right about it? But if God says and calls us to wait, that means it's for a reason. Am I right about it? And understand, when we talk about waiting, it means to hope, to anticipate, and to trust. To hope, trust, and anticipate with faith, patience, humility, in a world that's filled with so many problems. And I've come to the conclusion, I hope I'm not by myself, that while you're waiting, God is working.
That's right.
Hello, somebody.
That's right.
While we're waiting, you need to know this morning that God is working.
Yeah.
Understand, when you're waiting, a season of waiting, and that's what it is sometimes. Is anybody other than me in a season of waiting or ever have been? And that doesn't mean that God has stopped working on your behalf, because you're still going through. I believe that in your season of waiting, God is taking you through that season. Listen, he's using the time to work in your circumstance for your good.
That's
right. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
But another thing that you and I have to realize and recognize, God is not in a hurry.
That's
right. You ever thought like, God, would you hurry up? I mean, we don't say it like that, but that's what we think. Lord, would you hurry up? God says, I'm not in a hurry. That's where trust and reliance on him comes into play.
That's right.
Just because it's almost midnight, Paul and Silas. Just because it's been a long time. Just because I prayed and prayed and keep on praying and it doesn't look like God has answered my prayer, doesn't mean that he's not going to come through.
That's right.
God loves to come through at the nick of time. I might not agree. Can I be honest? Lord, why are you waiting so long? The midnight, as a matter of fact, it's 11:58 and counting. I said, God is not in a hurry. We need to understand God is saying, you need to trust me, even in those crucial times. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, yet God has made everything beautiful for, listen, its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. We just can't see. And I think God, I'm glad he has it away, because I wouldn't understand what God is doing. Am I right about you? Wouldn't understand. We would not understand what God is doing. God has set the right time for everybody. And I've just asked, is anybody in here waiting? And most, if not all of us, have waited and are waiting even as we speak. You know, somebody might be waiting for school to end. Somebody, amen. See, I got an amen. Somebody's waiting for the right person to come into their life. Maybe somebody's waiting for a marriage to happen, a major promotion, amen. A new job opportunity. And somebody's frustrated this morning with how slow things seem to be moving. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. Don't miss that. His mercies never, ever cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies, listen, begin afresh each morning. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I got a new set of mercies today. I used all of mine up yesterday. I wore them out, but I got a new set of mercies. I needed mercy to get here this morning.
That's right.
You needed mercy to get here this morning. When we laid down last night, if the devil had his way, he'd have took us out. But thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Talking about God's waiting room. Somebody else says that, another translation, I am the Lord, and when it's time, listen, when it is time, I will make these things happen quickly. It might be slow now, but when it's time, they'll quickly happen. Remember, that's how God worked when he sent Jesus into the world. The world waited thousands of years for him to come the first time. And then he came at just the right time. And now you and I are waiting again for Jesus to return. John 14 and 3, don't miss this, says, when everything is ready,
yeah.
I'm reading the Bible.
Yeah.
When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. John 14 and 3. Don't miss when everything is ready.
Yeah.
Does that suggest that in your situation, mine, it may not be the right time?
Yeah.
I know you don't want to hear that. See, you understand, you have to understand, waiting does not mean denial, or delay is not denial. When you think God is saying no, he might just be saying not yet. Hello, somebody. Remember Micah 7, verse 7 says, I trust the Lord to save me, and I will wait for him to answer my prayer. See, that's the kind of faith God blesses. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
And we're supposed to wait patiently.
Patient.
I know when he said, Pastor, it was already tough enough. Now you talking about patiently?
Yeah.
We already struggle with waiting, period.
Yeah.
Now you mean to wait with another P, patiently?
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
Am I right about it?
Yeah.
Who's God talking to this morning? You're already sick and tired of waiting patiently. No, waiting. And now he said to wait patiently. In spite of what you're going through.
Right.
See, waiting patiently is the ability to endure difficulty, situations, or circumstances without giving in to sinful anger, frustration, or giving up hope. I remember a time in my life when I got so upset with God. I know you never did this, but I got angry.
Yeah.
Anybody ever been angry with God? Let's be honest. Let me see. Put my hand up. Angry with it. Because we know that God can change the situation.
That's right.
With a word.
Yeah.
Why are you allowing me to go through this?
Yeah.
Why do I have to? I know some people that are much worse than me off doing things. They're not as faithful as me. And they seem to be smoothly navigating life. God knows what he's doing. And sometimes, in the midst of all the diversions in our lives that we have to deal with, God wants you to know you got to stay focused. Am I right about it? Understand, Psalms 27 verse 14 helps us to better understand what waiting does to and for us. See, when we wait patiently, it builds up not only trust, but courage.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Waiting develops a spirit of discipline
and
strength.
That's right.
Within us. I didn't know how strong or weak I was until I had to wait. Hello, somebody. I thought I was stronger than this until I had to go through.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned it Bible study. If I didn't, I'll mention it now. When I'm preaching and teaching, I'm not exempt from what I'm teaching and preaching you. God said, oh, you're going to go through it too.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
God knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
And the truth is that God has never abandoned us when we've had to wait.
That's right.
Tell the truth. It might like seem like he's not there, but God has never abandoned us. He's faithful to his word. He said, I will never leave nor abandon you. I'm talking about God's waiting room. We wait for everything else. God says, you need to learn how to wait for me. Am I right about it? We wait for our wives and our husbands to get ready so we can go somewhere. That's a normal thing. Why do we see so difficult? David said in verse 13 of Psalm 27, I would have despaired unless I had, here we go, believed. As David wrestled with the weight of the circumstances he was dealing with, David acknowledged that I would have given up if I had not believed that the God I serve is able, when he gets ready, to deliver me from all of my troubles. He said, I was depressed and would have stayed there until I came to my senses. Am I right about it? He said, I would have lost hope and maybe would have surrendered to my circumstance. But I'm so glad that God picked me up and turned me around. He placed my footing on solid ground in his word. Do I have a witness? Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 says, but those who trust, otherwise wait on the Lord, will find new strength. I know you said you out of look, out of war. No, God will give you new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and not faint. You ever been on running and got a second wind? Somebody here in life, God wants you to know while you're running and you're ready almost to give up, you're going to get a second wind.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't give up. You might slow down, but God's going. When you can't make it, you feel a shove.
That's right.
You feel a push.
That's right.
God will push you on.
Yeah.
You're getting closer to the end of the troubles that begin.
Yeah.
And God says, don't give up. Don't give way. Trouble will save and deliver. Will not depress you. My help will sustain you. Psalms 23 and 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I hasten on, because I'm almost done. Verse 14 again of Psalms 27 says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. God says there's something about waiting that will test your spiritual fortitude and reveal how strong you are. Some of us think we're strong because we're not going through enough. I know, man, no. Because we act like ain't nothing, oh, I can do this. And we look down on other people who are going through. God says, you just haven't hit the right, I haven't hit you with the right stuff. You know, and you're telling everybody this, that, and it's good to encourage everybody. But God says, you've got to go through something yourself, because every now and then you've got to, like David, encourage your own self. You got to encourage yourself sometimes. Am I right about it? And with that all being said, you got to have a history of trusting God before stuff happens.
That's right.
You can't just have something happen today and wonder why you can't get momentum to push on. You've got to have a history of trusting God. You've got to have trusted him yesterday, last week, 6 months ago, 3 years ago. You don't want to just, how old you say you've been walking with the, how long? You mean you just started trusting him? No, you've got to build up trust in him. Am I right about it? You get tired of waiting, take a ticket and stand in line. Abraham and Sarah waited on a son for 25 years. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old when they had their son Isaac. Check out Genesis 21. Now remember, Abraham's first son was Ishmael with his wife Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. You can't rush God and try, well, son, well, I might as well, you know, he trying to get spiritual. I might as well go with my wife's handmaid, you know, the maid that stays at the house when my wife goes to work and me. And yeah, right. Moses waited 40 years in the desert before God raised him up to lead Israel out of Egypt. Joseph waited 13 years to be raised up between prison and becoming second in command under Potiphar. Noah waited for around 100 years. Y'all tell me you can't wait. 100 years for rain to fall. Remember in Genesis chapter 5, Noah was 500 years old. Genesis 5:32. And in Genesis chapter 7, verse 6, Noah was 600 years old when the flood was upon the earth. That's why I say he was 100 years waiting for rain. Somebody said, what did it rain? I told y'all this before. From the springs of the mountains and stuff, it rained, but it didn't come down from heaven. Rain didn't always come down from heaven. It came from the water, the mist, and the mountains and the rocks. So when Noah started talking about it's going to rain, they laughed at him. People will laugh at you because they don't understand God. You tell them what God is going to do and what people will laugh at you. Imagine him and he's building an ark and they say, look at that fool. Look at him. All these years he building, talking about rain going to come. They ha, 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 ha. And guess what? When the rain came and kept on raining, they were shut out of the ark. Somebody got to know. Remember the other day, did anybody get caught in that earthquake? Didn't that shake somebody up? Was anybody other than me shaking up? Some of y'all didn't care. Don't lie. That's scary. That let me to know God can take me out at any time. Anytime. You ain't got to be in California. Man, he can come in Philadelphia. He can come out media where I am. Wherever you are, things start shaking. Me and my wife thought it was the guy cutting grass. I said, I don't know what he's cutting it with, but it's shaking the whole house. I'm serious. Sister Sarah, I'm wondering, what's this shaking going on? Then I said, man, maybe the heater getting ready to blow up and it's vibrating. I'm serious. I don't know. It ain't normal for my house to shake. And then I started saying, Lord, is this the end? Y'all looking at me funny. I said, Lord, y'all didn't say, Lord, is this here? Take me quickly. Don't let me suffer. Take me quickly. I don't want to be locked under some ruins for 6 days and got a ton on me. No. And the rats run across my face. No. Take me out, Lord. Somebody said, he could have saved you. Lord, I can't take no 5 days under no stuff like that. Oh, Lord. Then I heard it happened everywhere. God makes us wait. And you're not the only one that has had to wait. The reasons, y'all want to get this. I'm on my way to close. There's some reasons that God makes us wait. First of all, God is moving pieces into place.
Yeah.
Y'all better hear that. One of the reasons God might have you and I waiting is he's moving other pieces into place. You and I don't necessarily know what the pieces are, but God does.
Yeah.
Y'all remember Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything, the pieces, including the pieces, to work together for the good of those, here we go, who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Working all things together for good. Am I right about it? Whether you are like it or not, God says, I'm going to work that heartache that you're going through in your life. It's going to work out for your good. You say you don't have money, you don't have this, that, the other. I'm going to work it out. What was meant for evil. What the enemy wanted to put you down and suppress you with. I'm going to use that to make you strong. Not only is God moving pieces into place, but you might be waiting because, here we go, you may not be ready yet. You thought you was ready. You think you're ready. God says, you ain't ready. No, I know we don't want to hear, but you can't hurry up the process. See, he might be waiting for you to experience something in order to be ready. How you gonna know that God can deliver unless you've been to a point where you needed to be delivered? It's not gonna be just somebody else's testimony. Don't you know that the troubles that we're going through in the church, this church, the pieces that God is putting together, I've complained, I went through my ups and downs, but I found out I've got stronger. Because every now and then God will let me know I got this.
That's right.
But I know what I'm going to do here in the church. I'm just trying to get you ready to handle what I got coming down the pike for my church. Some of us are slow learners. So if I was you, I'd pick up in the learning process. Not only God is moving pieces into place and you may not be ready, but sometimes God will make you wait so you won't love the gifts more than the giver.
Yeah.
If God were to bless you, you might love the blessing better than the blessor. Amen, somebody. If God just gave you everything you wanted just right now, you might forget about God and embrace what you have. But God says you can't put nothing above me. Nobody above me. Am I right about it? I said God has a reason. Not only moving pieces into place and you might not be ready yet. Not only so you won't love gifts more than the giver. But as I hasten to a close, it's not always about you. Wow. Sometimes God makes us wait because it's not always about you or me. But sometimes we have to wait for somebody else's good. Y'all don't want to hear that. It got quiet. It got quiet up in here. God says, I'm making you wait for your brother, your mother, your sister, your uncle, your auntie, your pain in the rear neighbor. Oh my God. You may be a part of somebody else's puzzle. Y'all missing me. You may be a part of somebody else's puzzle. Anybody ever like to do puzzles? I don't like them, but anybody here, y'all like puzzles? Who likes puzzles? Not too many. I hate them. And then they give a big one to all these pieces. Man, I keep a piece here and I get frustrated. Some of y'all raise your hand, you look, man, puzzles, man, I got a headache. Lord have mercy. See, God might have you and I waiting to fix somebody else's trouble. You're a part of somebody else's good to yet come. That's not especially great to know, I understand. But it does add some meaning to your long season of silence and longing and waiting. I'm almost done. But you don't want to waste your season of waiting. Don't waste your season of waiting by complaining, by pushing back, by getting angry, by turning around and trying to do something else. It's best to say, Lord, what are you teaching me? What am I to learn through my season of waiting? What am I to learn through my season of going through this health issue? What am I to learn? I'm not going to tell it all, but recently I went and gave blood to the doctor. Honey, I ain't telling them. And they came back with the results. Y'all ever have good blood? There's something in the blood that the doctors send you probably detect some deficiencies or normality or abnormality. And he sent me, you know, they fancy now go on your phone and hit and everything come back. George pointed, here's your results of your latest blood test. Normal. It's about 10 different things. Normal. I said, man, I'm good. Normal. I know it. Normal. Then he had a scale. It was like green. Something within here is good. Here is bad. And that's over. All that stuff. I was all in the good. Going down. I know it. With my overweight. See, I'm good. I'm good to go.
That's all right.
But after, towards the end, say, you're not there, but you're on your way there. If you don't do thus and thus. I was by myself in the kitchen. I didn't want my wife to see me cry. I shouldn't tell you. Y'all, don't you put. I sat on the chair. I said, Pastor, Lord, I passed the point of trying to do the work. He said, you won't be able to do the work if you don't. God said, but you're not there yet, but if you don't do this, that, or the thus, that's up to you. It's something about the blood. Something in the blood. Of Jesus. If you're not covered in the blood of Jesus, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, how sweet is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God's waiting room. As you rest on your feet, that was a sobering reminder for me, Crystal. The blood. When they stuck that needle out, they took about 3 or 4 vials, we call them there. And she said, it'll be a pinch. And after that, you won't feel it. Sometimes in life you'll have a pinch. Y'all missing this. Life hardships will be like a pinch. It'll hurt. But if the blood is right, if you do what you need to do to cleanse the blood, or you realize the cleansing power and potential of the blood, you won't pollute it with all of the other things that he said you need to stop eating or drinking. I want you to take down this in your minds as we close. You learn about God's love for you when you wait. We learn about God's love when we wait, y'all. In other words, we learn 4 things. Y'all want to get this? You learn that God is protecting us. Y'all got that one? Can I give you another one? We learn that God is preparing us. There's only 2 more. Can I give you another one? God is refining us. Can I give you the last one? God is reminding us. Let me help you out. Use this acronym, PPRR. Protect, prepare, refine, remind. Y'all get it? Do I need to say it again? PPRR. Protect, prepare, refine, and remind. Each one of those in and of itself is a sermon that we don't have time. But that's what God's love does. It protects us. It prepares us. It refines us, makes us better. And it reminds us of who God is and how much he loves us. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died. While we were still doing our own thing, Jesus died ahead of time for you and me. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only one of a kind son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody in here, all heads bowed while we're standing. Oh, somebody out there. We can never assume that everyone has a relationship with the God of heaven.